Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. You just trust. Believe.
We are featuring one single story in this episode called The Scoobies by a listener who wishes to remain anonymous. Like we've done before, we've split it up into two parts, and you will pick things up in the second half. Enjoy. This is a series of highly strange stories from my childhood into my early adult life. I have changed all necessary names for privacy. I should probably stay anonymous as well, to protect the identities of the other people in this story. I grew up in Hawaii, on the island of Oahu. When I was a young boy, my family was very close with another family. My parents were good friends with the other set of parents. They have a daughter my age named Missy and a son named Chris, who is a year younger than me. I have a sister, Marie, who is about a year older than me. So we were all very close in age and spent a lot of time together. In Hawaii, it's more common for children to call adults auntie and uncle instead of Mr. and Mrs. So to me, in addition to being my youngest sister's godparents, they were my aunt and uncle, even though we weren't blood relatives. The thing I remember most about my relationship with my aunt when I was little was that she let me get away with some things that my mom wouldn't. Nothing too bad, just some extra junk food here and there, and the occasional PG-13 movie when I was around 8 years old. They would also sometimes have non-Christian music playing. Again, nothing too inappropriate. But I grew up in a home which allowed little to no non-Christian music. I think my parents were heavily influenced by music when they were young, and wanted to protect us from music which didn't glorify God. These issues would lead to occasional conflict between my mom and aunt, especially the time my aunt let me watch Ace Ventura when I was around 9 or 10. I came home pretending to talk out of my butt. My mom was not thrilled, but they always worked things out and still cared for each other. You can probably tell from the start of this story that I was raised in a very religious home. As long as I can remember, my family was at church at least twice a week. My parents didn't grow up Christian, but found Jesus as young adults, and have lived very faithful lives since then. My dad has been an ordained minister for many years, and he and my mom both worked on staff at our church. My aunt and uncle were also Christians, but had some different ideas about God and organized religion. When I was young, mostly between the ages of 5 and 10, my aunt often told us stories about what she called the Scoobies. She would see shadow people, red eyes staring at her from complete darkness, and sometimes full-body apparitions. It was a normal occurrence at her house to hear strange noises coming from inside the walls, or for items to disappear, only to reappear later in a random spot. I will note that, although I was aware of many of these occurrences, not much happened directly to me at their house. My aunt always told us not to worry. The Scoobies were there for her, not any of us. One particular story she told me really stuck with me. She was working on a renovation project in the detached garage on their property and kept hearing scratching from inside the walls. She wanted to make sure there wasn't some kind of animal hiding in there, and the wall was being torn down eventually anyway, so she smashed a hole in the wall, large enough for her to put her head in and look around. What she found in the wall was a terrifying set of glowing red eyes staring at her from the darkness. She was overwhelmed by a sense of pure dread. She doesn't scare too easily, but something about this experience terrified her in an unusual way. It was as if she knew she made eye contact with something purely evil. She didn't finish that project, and they ended up selling their house and moving. I think the move was unrelated to the strange happenings. She definitely had accepted that the Scoobies were somehow attached to her, and they were just a part of her life. When I was around 10 years old, my aunt and uncle moved their family to the Pacific Northwest. A few years later, my parents followed a strong prompting from God and moved our family from Hawaii to the same small town as my aunt and uncle in the Pacific Northwest. My aunt had bought a second house with the intention of renovating it and renting it out, which was perfect for our family. God had arranged a place for us to live immediately, and it was on the same block, across the alley from my aunt and uncle's house. We lived there for several years, pretty much all of my teen years, until I got married and moved out at age 19. That house was the site of many of my encounters with the supernatural. My room was creepy, especially at night. The closet always seemed to be darker than it should be, even though my mom installed a couple of push lights on the wall. With my door closed and my bedroom light off, I can only describe the level of darkness in the closet as a void. I always kept the closet door closed at night, but I would often wake up in the middle of the night to find it open just a crack. Barely open enough that I could convince myself it must have been my mistake. It seemed unnaturally dark, and there would sometimes be noises coming from inside. The noises were just subtle enough that I could explain them away in my head. The worst part, by far, was the deep sense of fear I would feel when I woke up in that dark room to an open closet door. One night, when I woke up and the closet door was open, I saw a shadowy figure peeking up over the foot of my bed. It was as if there was a person on the floor, on their knees, and they were trying to poke their head up just enough to see me. It seemed to raise its head up higher when I noticed it. Then it faded away. Prior to this experience, I had sensed a presence at the foot of my bed and had caught brief glimpses of a shadow, but it never made itself so visible before. I never shared any of these experiences with my family, I didn't know if they would believe me. I started sleeping with my bedroom light and TV on every night after that. When I was 16, there was a large explosion at the pulp mill in our small town. Nobody was injured, but the force of the explosion literally shook the whole town. A few months later, I was in my room alone, and I felt a similar blast. My room shook, and items fell off my desk and bookshelf. I sprinted downstairs to find my older sister casually sitting on the couch reading a book. She hadn't heard or felt anything. My parents hadn't either. I was completely dumbfounded. I knew it had happened. How was it possible that I was the only one who experienced it? Later that day, I went over to my aunt and uncle's house to shoot some hoops with Chris. After we played, we were sitting at the dining room table, munching on some Hot Pockets. I told him about the explosion. He stared at me in stunned silence while I recounted the experience. He told me that his dad heard an explosion while he was watching TV at around the same time, but nobody else in the house had heard it or felt it. I tracked down my uncle, and he confirmed the story. He said he was just sitting on the couch watching TV, and it sounded like a cannon was fired above his head. Neither of us could explain why we were the only ones who experienced that phenomenon, but my aunt blamed it on the Scoobies. I haven't had many sleep paralysis experiences in my life, but I did have a terrifying one at my aunt and uncle's house. I was probably around 16 when this happened. I spent many nights there, despite it being a super creepy, large old house with a very odd layout. There were so many dark nooks and crevices, even when all the lights were on. The upstairs bathroom was large and had a really old-looking clawfoot bathtub, which was raised a step from the rest of the room. In the opposite corner of the room, there was a tall dresser that you could never quite see behind or underneath because the light was shielded in the corner. Again, it always seemed unnaturally dark, and the feeling in that bathroom was so bad that I refused to use it. I would instead make sure I used the downstairs bathroom before I went to bed. One night, however, I woke up and really needed to go. I didn't want to walk through the rest of the house in the dark, because I was so nervous about what I might encounter. So I had to choose between peeing out the window or using the creepy bathroom upstairs. I'm not a barbarian, so I decided to brave the bathroom. I did my business as quickly as possible, without looking into the creepy corner, then moved swiftly around the corner of the hallway into Chris's room. I thought I caught a glimpse of some movement in the hall as I was making the turn, but I didn't stick around to double check. I just closed the bedroom door and laid back down on my fold-out mattress on the floor. Chris's bedroom window was uncovered and faced a streetlight, so it was never completely dark in there. I managed to fall back asleep pretty quickly, but not for long. I woke up and saw what appeared to be a shadow figure in the darkest corner of the bedroom. I should say, I didn't really get a great look at it, and it never approached me, but I felt the presence and the fear. Then, I felt my mattress start to elevate. I tried to get up, but I couldn't move. I tried to call for Chris, who was snoozing just a couple of feet away from me, but I couldn't make a sound. When the mattress got a few feet off the ground, it suddenly dropped. I flailed and almost rolled off, but I managed to not scream. I could move now, I could talk now, and the presence in the corner of the room was gone. I didn't sleep the rest of that night, trying to decide if what I had experienced was real and physical. I still believe that my mattress was physically elevated and dropped. I only told my aunt about this experience. She felt really bad and said she was glad that I was okay, and again blamed the Scoobies. I don't recall spending any more nights in that house.
Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
When I was 18, I was engaged to the girl of my dreams and trying to save up money for our wedding. As I grew up, Chris, Missy, and my aunt and uncle were less a part of my life. Around this time, they sold their creepy house and moved about 10 minutes away to a neighboring town. My parents had a falling out with my aunt and uncle. Nothing nasty, but there was serious tension, and they have not stayed in touch over the years. I still spend time with Chris and Missy started dating one of my best friends, Bear. Around this time, my uncle started behaving very oddly, and my aunt was having some serious medical issues. Bear was spending way more time at their house than I was, and he became part of their family. They all loved and trusted him. He was around for several angry outbursts my uncle had. My uncle had become very verbally abusive towards my aunt and occasionally got physical. One day, Bear and I were hanging out at his house, playing Madden and discussing the situation between my aunt and uncle. He was very troubled by my uncle's behavior. He described a particularly violent outburst in which he had to physically restrain my uncle. Bear paused for a moment before telling me that my uncle's face had changed. When Bear was restraining my uncle from behind, my uncle turned around and looked at him with a face that was so distorted, it didn't even look like him at all. Bear said that it looked demonic and inhuman, not my uncle's face. Around this time, I was working as a night janitor. My job was to go to a few different businesses each night when they were closed and clean the place to whatever level the client had paid for. Some jobs were solo and some required multiple workers. I mostly preferred to work solo, and overall, I didn't hate this job. It was helping me start my family with my beautiful fiancé. I was, however, regularly seeing shadow figures in my car's rearview mirror when I was driving from job to job at night. It would look like somebody was sitting in the back seat, but when I turned to look, they were gone. I told myself I was just creeped out by everything going on with my uncle, and I shrugged it off. There was, however, one particular place I cleaned where I never felt comfortable. It was a government building, which was in charge of social and health services. Basically, people who needed state assistance for food, housing, and medical got it there. There was a heavy feeling in that building. It hit me without fail every time I walked in, and it felt physical, like you could cut it with a knife. It was a large space with a ton of cubicles, as well as some offices and meeting rooms, and I constantly felt like someone was watching me from behind a potted plant or through one of the many windows that looked from room to room. There was a long hallway that led from the offices to the lobby area. There was a door at each end of the hallway, and just off the lobby, there was a janitor's closet with all of the cleaning supplies. It was my routine to prop both hallway doors open, get my cleaning supplies, go to the back of the building, and work my way toward the front, then finish cleaning the lobby. One night, after I was sure I had propped both hallway doors open, I cleaned the office area, but returned to find both hallway doors closed and the triangular rubber door stoppers kicked off to the side. I thought it was odd, but I figured I must have forgotten to prop them open. I propped them both open securely, mopped the lobby, and then vacuumed the rugs. I turned back around to find both hallway doors closed and the door stops kicked off to the side. I was now terrified at this point, but I was so close to being done that I decided I would stick it out and finish the cleaning. I propped both doors open one more time, since I knew I had to go back out that hallway, and I cleaned the bathroom and the lobby. To my relief, when I came out of the bathroom, both hallway doors were still open. All I had left to do was pick some stubborn garbage out of the floor mats and put my supplies away. I knelt down to pick at what looked like some kind of squished gummy candy on the mat. Then I felt as if someone had put their hand on my back. I completely froze in fear for what was probably just a few seconds, though it felt longer. And then both of the hallway doors slammed shut with enough force to shake all of the windows. I got up and I booked it out the front door, which was the wrong door, but luckily, it didn't have an alarm. I then called my boss to explain why I hadn't finished putting the cleaning supplies away. She was very understanding when I quit the next day. By the time I got married, at age 19, I had pretty much lost contact with Chrissy, Missy, and my aunt and uncle. Missy and Bear broke up but remained friends. Within the next couple of years, they had all moved in different directions. I still have very little contact with any of them. I'm 38 now. And in case you were wondering, still married to that wonderful woman God put in my life as a teen. Shortly after I got married, my younger sister Grace moved into my old bedroom at my parents' house. She had been sharing my room with my older sister Marie, who was away at college but still came back for the school breaks. Grace was thrilled to have her own space. I had never shared my creepy experiences in that room with her. I guess I had either convinced myself that I had imagined a lot of it, or it was about me and not the room. It didn't take long for Grace to start experiencing some of the same things I had experienced. She saw shadow people, heard strange noises, and was terrified of the closet. She brought it up to me without any prompting. I apologized for not talking to her about it before, and we got my dad involved. You may remember that my dad is an ordained minister, so he listened to our stories and acted swiftly. I can't remember exactly what he did, but I know it involved multiple people praying throughout the house. He also equipped us with the knowledge of what to do in those situations. In fact, I already knew what to do. I had been taught my whole life that Christians have dominion over evil spirits with the power of the name of Jesus. Why on earth hadn't I thought of that when I was in all those situations? I still can't answer that question. I don't recall, through all these experiences, speaking the name of Jesus one single time, and I don't know how to explain why. My wife and I didn't waste any time starting our family after we got married. Our first son was born almost exactly 1 year after our wedding, and our second son followed 3 years later. When my boys were 2 and 5 years old, my wife and I wanted to save some money, and we weren't happy with our living situation, so we decided to move back into my parents' house, for a little while at least. We paid them a small amount of rent to help cover additional food, water, electricity, etc. My parents are amazing people and have always been there to support us, even as adults. This move meant returning to my teenage home. We were originally supposed to have both upstairs rooms, but shortly after we moved in, Grace returned to the nest as well, which meant she reclaimed her room, which was my old room, and my wife and sons and I shared the other bedroom. It was cramped at night, but it worked just fine for us for the short time we lived there. One night, my wife and my sons were the only ones home. The boys were in bed and my wife was watching TV in the living room downstairs when she heard footsteps upstairs like somebody was running back and forth between the bedrooms. She went to the bottom of the stairs and told my sons to get back to bed. There was silence, but my wife had an odd feeling that something wasn't right. She started walking up the stairs and felt as if she were being watched. The feeling intensified as she moved up the stairs, and she felt a strong, dark presence coming from Grace's empty room. She opened our bedroom door enough to peek in and see that both of our sons were sleeping peacefully. They definitely had not been running around upstairs just a few moments prior. She walked towards Grace's room and felt strongly that she was being watched from the closet. To this day, she has a difficult time describing whether she actually saw movement in the room or if she just felt it. But she definitely heard the footsteps and she knew that something was there. Alone and shaking in fear, but fully equipped with God's armor, my brave wife stood in the doorway of the bedroom and protected her babies by rebuking this evil spirit in the closet in the name of Jesus, saying that it wasn't welcome there. The presence faded, and the night carried on normally. I haven't experienced anything supernatural worth mentioning since moving out of my parents' house more than 10 years ago. Sure, there's been an occasional unexplainable noise or uncomfortable feeling, or the time that my dog seemed to be looking at and reacting to something in the hallway that wasn't visible to my wife or me. But nothing has given me the same feeling as the Scoobies. So any research that you do online about shadow people is usually going to result in some kind of scientific explanation stating that there's some kind of hypnagogic hallucination. And in some cases, I guess I can accept that.
Yeah, in and of themselves, I could see how people might be tempted to write them off. But then you have stories like these where, in my opinion, they're pretty clearly a piece of a bigger puzzle.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was headed. We're hearing more and more stories where the author sees shadow figures along with other paranormal encounters.
Yeah, I think both can be true. I've definitely seen some weird stuff out of the corner of my eye, but I don't think the hallucination idea applies to every situation. I mean, when does it ever? I was peeing in the woods once, and I saw two little orbs of light that were level with where a head might be, and they both slowly slipped behind the trunk of a big pine tree. It was maybe like 30 or 40 feet away, and I was in a really isolated area, but I just chuckled because I knew there wasn't anything I could do about it, even if I wanted to. And maybe it was my eyes just playing tricks on me, or maybe like one of the taller Jawas from Star Wars wanted to play peekaboo. I don't know, but I saw something, but what can you do?
Yeah, I love those glowing eyes. I remember you telling me about that. Sometimes shrugging things off really is the best response, especially when something is inevitable.
Yes.
Or you really don't have a solid reason to get worked up.
Yeah, yeah. I feel kind of bad, but when my dad got COVID, it was like early on during the big scare, and he called me at work, and it was like some big old thing. He was like, "Oh, son, I have something to tell you." I'm like, "Oh shit, what happened?" And I really just didn't know what to say beyond the whole, like, "Oh, how are you feeling?" And I seriously just ended up saying, "Well, good luck, I guess." And I meant it, like, you know, good-natured. And he was so taken back because I'm usually all hypersensitive and extra empathetic, and I still am to a degree, but Sometimes when your hands are completely tied and you can't actually do anything, jumping straight to acceptance in the grief stage, it's your best option.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of the same way, except for some reason I just kind of shut down when anything sad or emotionally charged is happening around me. I think it's a form of acceptance too. Like, okay, I accept this. Now I need to be the stoic one. I need to take the lead on this.
Hell yeah. I'm glad you're citing stoicism. That's perfect. No reason to fret over things that we can't control. It really is pointless.
Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, not a whole lot does. But anyway, that sounded kind of depressing, even though it's actually pretty empowering in my opinion.
No, yeah, it's super empowering. Yeah, it's a good thing.
But anyway, back to the eyes playing tricks thing. I'm going to be the one to shamelessly plug Cryptic Encounters here because Haley had the same idea on your first episode about shadow people.
Yeah.
How it's probably a combination of your brain trying to make sense of things as you're in between the dream state and being awake. And the fact that we're just more spiritually open to things that are beyond our physical dimension.
Okay, so you did listen. That's awesome. What did you think?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was cool because she was really concise and clearly knew what she was talking about. I was afraid you're going to get some like whack job bozos that just kind of pretend to know what they're talking about, or they hopped on Wikipedia real quick and shot you an email so they could talk to the Andy Tate. But no, she was legit.
Yeah, I did some pretty in-depth vetting of the people that I was having on the show. I actually canceled a couple of them because upon further research, I was like, oh no, this guy's full of shit. No thanks.
Most people are, and you just got to pick the ones that are the least full of shit.
Yeah. She was a lot of fun to talk to. The next episode is with this archaeologist / anthropologist / paranormal investigator named Pamela Nance. We got to talking about this Arcadian ley line that stretches across the Appalachians, which could be the cause for all of the strange and paranormal activity that goes on there. We talked a bit about odd trails and all of the stories that we get from that area. It was funny.
Oh, nice. You know, we talk so much about Appalachia, or it's at least mentioned in a lot of the stories. I figure it wouldn't hurt to throw a quick recommendation out there for our listeners. It's not paranormal, but it's one of my favorite books. It's called A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson. He's just some dude who seemingly on a whim decided to hike the Appalachian Trail with his friend. It's like the perfect adventure comedy, and it's full of these neat little insights. I think most people would like it. It's hard to dislike.
Yeah, Bill Bryson is pretty tight. I've been meaning to read that one specifically. I got really into A Short History of Nearly Everything.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's the first one I read. I listened to it for a second time just recently on my way to and from California.
I wish we could just plug all that knowledge into our brains, like the jack plugs in the Matrix, you know what I mean?
Yes. I'm just happy you're dropping Matrix references now.
Yeah, the hype was all justified. I'm super glad that I finally watched it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Joaquin Phoenix's Joker will be next.
Easy there. I'll have to think about that one.
All right, fair.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I know we're kind of rushing this since you got to head to the airport soon, but I just had to say that the Scoobies sound like something Tito from Rocket Power would warn the kids about.
Yeah, that's perfect. Hawaiian too, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always dropping some spiritual bombshells.
Yeah.
I wonder if they could possibly be a more specific entity that more people regularly experience.
Right, yeah. Or if they're just something unique to the ant.
Yeah.
Whether some external force imposed itself onto her or she subconsciously willed them into existence due to any number of reasons.
Yeah, power of suggestion stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do have to head out there soon. Gonna have to wrap this up, unfortunately. Busy week as usual. There's always something.
I hear ya. Always.
Yep, I gotta catch a flight to Southern California for the live Let's Not Meet shows. This will be coming out after those shows, so hopefully they went well and you guys enjoyed that. But anyways, thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show. And sign up for our Patreon to get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. over at patreon.com/oddtrails. And finally, make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radiocast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Everybody stay safe.
Peace out.
Ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.